You're listening to the oneofus.net podcast network. Is there anything better than cracking open a cold beer and listening to your favorite podcasts? No, sir, and I'm here to tell you that the beer you should be cracking is one from our new sponsor, Circle Brewing, located in Austin, Texas at 2340 West Breaker Lane, Suite B. You can have a frosty one in their fabulous tap room where lots of seasonal specials await you, or you can get lots of their treats in the bottle or can at your local craft beer retailer. Try their award-winning Alibi Blonde or their diabolically rich Devil Knight Barrel Age Stout. They have so many solid choices, and they are the official sponsor of oneofus.net. Support Circle Brewing and support us, and we really need your support. There is no site without subscribers, and that depends on you. Please think about becoming a subscriber, because we cannot do this without you. The four different subscription tiers are there to give different flavors of bonus content, but we absolutely need your help, whether you sign up to give $2, $5, $10, or $25 a month. Don't be one of those people who loves something but won't lift a finger to keep it around. Help one of us and keep those podcasts coming.
Well, I have officially seen more of Bill Paxton's penis than I've ever needed to see in my life. Because, wow.
Those words could not be any truer.
I know. Oh, my gosh. Like, okay, correct me if I'm wrong. That had to be unsimulated, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah. No, I'm sure that they had the budget to hire a practical effects guy to make a penis that would be able to... simulate oral sex in such an honest and true way, manner.
Yeah, and people, we're not kidding. One of the earliest scenes that you see in this movie is some girl going down on Bill Paxton. Like, not explicit, but you do see some of it.
No, it's like, if that wasn't unsimulated, then that practical effects guy needs an award.
Yeah, forget Border. That needs an Oscar nomination.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. So this movie is called Taking Tiger Mountain Revisited. Now, I didn't know that when we requested this movie, that it's actually so what I understand is that this is a long-lost movie that was one of Bill Paxton's first roles ever, and it technically was lost and, like, not finished, so somebody found the footage and remastered it to be able to do it as, like, one of Bill Paxton's final roles, because I think he died, like, shortly after, like, you know, recording his lines for the dubbing.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that. So,
oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, that's at least what I could gather from the research I've done for this movie. And, I mean, you can definitely tell it's dubbed, because apparently they didn't film any sound for this movie. It was all silent footage, and then they just added everything in post-production.
That felt like a lot of effort done for something like this.
Yeah, that's way too much work than what this movie needed. And the problem is, you can tell the dubbing because sometimes their lips won't match. Look, the one thing you expect with dubbing is that you can't notice the dubbing, you know?
Do you think they still had the original script that they remember what people were saying at the time? Because
I don't know if anyone had a script for this movie, to be honest.
I think they just made it up. Just like, they should say this.
I have to assume, because there's a bunch of stuff in here that I don't understand what they were thinking. But also, what the dubbing, one of the things that made it even worse is that, okay, dubbing is one thing because dubbing's hard. Maybe you should get some people who can actually act in this movie. Because, you know, Bill Paxton's fine, because Bill Paxton's Bill Paxton, but there's a bunch of people who they got in to dub, even people whose faces aren't seen on screen, and their acting is awful in this movie. Like, this one woman who walked by just like, "Oh, hello, I brought you a beer. I hope you like it." I'm just like, "You want to try that again, honey?" No, one take, okay.
it doesn't help the fact that it's obvious that with the setting of the film, it takes place in South Wales. And you could tell that they got people, neighbors in South Wales. So
yeah, like, did they just find, like, Bill Paxton's friends at his vacation home or something like that, or...
You know what? I'm pretty sure that might be the case. Because looking into
did you know that Bill Paxton died? We did. Yeah. Do you want to help finish his last movie? Sure.
Whatever. I'll do it.
Yeah, I love Bill. Oh, jeez. Yeah. So I should actually explain what this freaking stupid movie is about. Which, sorry, I'm not going to hide that part. This made my brain hurt, honestly. So this is a post-apocalypse story where Bill Paxton plays this guy who's been programmed by a feminist terrorist organization to rebel against this patriarchal society where they've established a town that's purely dedicated to prostitution, apparently. And so he's programmed to kill the leader of the town, played by somebody, I don't know. A lot of these people are just random people who live in this town in Wales, apparently.
A man with cane. Just call him Man with Cane.
Yeah, big freaking old guy. So when he tells this one story about tigers, Bill Paxton's programmed to murder him on the spot, apparently. So that's about as much plot as you get in the first 10 minutes, because, okay, let me tell you this, people. This movie's only like an hour and 19 minutes, and a good hour of that is just Bill Paxton wandering around the streets of this South Wales town, having sex with women, and occasionally a man on a few occasions. That's about it.
You forget, there was a really prevalent chase scene.
Out of nowhere, too. I'm like, wait, did I miss something?
This is the first time I've ever seen a chase scene where there was no destination.
Oh, and no beginning, too. I'm just I guess now we're in the middle of a chase scene now.
I always sound jovial on these shows, you know, because I am. I'm a happy guy. And two, I saw this a little bit ago, so my brain had time to reboot. So, but just to say, he's absolutely right. Because the movie, it's like, the thing is, in the beginning, it kind of tricks you. Because you're watching it, and it's like, at first, I mean, the opening titles are bad. They're like, oh, they ran it on, revisited on it. I'm like, okay.
And then the video screens that are clearly overlaid on this really cheap graphic they designed for, like, a computer, quote-unquote.
Yes, exactly. So you're like, oh, this is bad. But then the movie starts, and it's like, oh, the dubbing's kind of weird, but it looks like the 1970s, even though it took place, even though it was released in the 80s. But it's like, it looks like, you know, because, you know, the 1970s, you used to watch, they had, like, a different type of framing. So, you know, like, oh, okay, you know, it's just going to be one of those artsy sci-fi type movies. All right, I'm with it. And, you know, that's like the first 5 minutes you see his women talking, and then you kind of notice the dialogue is really bad.
I mean, yeah, as bad as dialogue is, that was still the most interesting part of the whole film. But,
yeah, yeah, and it's like, because it looks like a real movie.
Yeah, there's actually plot happening and characters.
It's like, you think something's going to happen. You're like, oh, you have to set up. This is going to happen. Pretty straightforward. You know, assassin, you know, Manchurian candidate type of deal, you know.
This was an overly elaborate plan for what they actually wanted to accomplish, the way that they programmed Bill Paxton to be a sleeper agent.
Yeah, you know, like, they had to apparently castrate him and then replace his penis with a prosthetic one. I mean, that's, which they discuss, you don't actually see
him against sex, but then apparently that doesn't stop him from having sex later in the movie. And
yeah, it's, let's, okay. Now, okay, so here's a couple of, like, I don't remember seeing this in the beginning, but I remember this during the credits. One of the writers they credit is William S. Burroughs.
Now, because they take, like, dialogue from his writings or whatever?
Yeah, this, I don't think he had any part in the film. They just took elements from his book, Blade Runner, a movie. Which, that's literally the name of the book. It's called Blade Runner, a movie.
Because I saw that in the credits. I'm like, wait, don't you mean Philip K. Dick?
No, because William S. Burroughs, eccentric is the nicest way to call him, but he's basically crazy. But he wrote a book called Blade Runner, and then I think he rewrote it as a treatment for a film, actually called Blade, and in the move, the book, the remade book, was called Blade Runner, a movie. So that's the name of the book.
Okay, so Ridley Scott just stole his title and put it on top of Philip K. Dick's book.
Yeah, basically, yeah, that's what he did. He bought it, and it was like, this is a cool name. I'm going to buy the rights to this and just put it on this Philip K. Dick's book.
Well, I'm glad he didn't take any of the story from that book, apparently.
Yeah, because that's what this movie takes it from.
Oh, gosh.
So,
this movie. Oh, okay. Yeah, people. You know what? I don't know if this is even. This doesn't classify a movie. This is like an elaborate student film, because it's all shot in black and white, first of all. So it's like, oh, good. It's got the aura of pretentiousness around it. It's edited nonsensically at points. I'm just like, I don't know where we're cutting to. I don't know why we're going anywhere. I don't know why anything's happening in these sequences. There's at least two or three montages of him just having random sex with people just because. No reason. and then, again, that's the thing. Probably the thing that annoyed me the most in this movie is the droning radio reports that are playing throughout the entirety of this film.
The 1984 reports.
Yeah, seriously, like, there's like this elaborate world they've built all in post-production with all these radio reports of like, the free market enterprise radio has reported that the president of Germany has been assassinated by a sleeper agent, and immigrants from USA who are draft dodgers are being shipped back to the US because of the crisis of blah, 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 blah. And at some point, I'm like, this could be potentially interesting, but it's so nonstop and so unimportant to the plot that I just droned it out. I'm just like, that's just freaking white noise.
No, okay, what you mentioned before was student film. And that could not better encapsulate what we saw.
Yeah, no, those were your words when I asked you about this. I'm just like, what is this, London?
Yes, that's true. I put a subliminal message in your head.
London is programming me for this review, people. Help.
Well, I'm sorry. Your brain was so malleable after watching this. So.
Oh, I see. This was conditioning.
I actually planned this ahead of time to take over the show. This is my elaborate plan to take over.
The Screener Squad with London Viavong.
No, but it's just, oh my God. Like, okay, so the reason why, here's the thing, student film, it's, not only does it feel like that, apparently it kind of is. Because I stayed and I watched the credits as I always do. I just don't know. Ever since Marvel, I always watch credits now. And
well, you give respect where respect is due for these filmmakers.
Yeah, and so it too, you know, spoiler alert, there is a stinger, but I won't. We'll talk about that later. But but during the credits, here are some things that are mentioned. Apparently, they have credited someone for doing research. I'm like, okay, that didn't know you need to do that.
Apparently, someone who just read through the newspaper. I'm assuming that's the research they did for the just like, oh, what world events could we make up bullcrap about here?
Yeah, they just someone on the crew wanted to have a free trip, and they just said, sure, we'll just.
Also, they had some conveniently bad predictions and stuff. They're talking like, oh yes, the Americans dealt with this event that was happening with the September 11th things. It's like, ooh, did they just predict something would happen on the September 11th?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know when this was dubbed. It's like the movie kept getting, and not only it's like, because apparently, from what I researched, let's go back to the credits. They had a hypnotist.
Of course they did.
They had a hypnotist, and also, I noticed University of Texas faculty advisors.
Yep, when I saw that, I'm like, oh, so that's why Chris wanted us to watch this.
Yeah. So, now, when I did the little background research into it, I looked up and they said that apparently they started making the film and then they ran out of money. And so then when...
I wonder why.
Yeah. At one point, they actually lost all their equipment. And then when they moved... So it's a little bit heart wrenching, but it's a little bit of like, okay, you guys are just probably on stuff. But anyway, during the last year of one of the directors, I think Kent Smith, I believe it's Kent Smith. I don't know. On his website, he doesn't declare it, but it's one of the directors. He, and during his last year of film school, he said, oh, could you guys help me make this?
Jeez.
So it is actually a student film. Or at least partially one. It was finished as one.
Yeah. No, especially because, like, among the logos they credit at the end is a giant logo of Adobe Premiere. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, this is definitely a student movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and also, in the after credit. Okay, also, during the... Because this was released in 1983, but they re-released it now, 2018. But, you know, one of the things that was in the movie was iPhone 7 footage. And I'm like, okay, it's like this was made in the 70s, parts of 80s, I don't know.
Well, no, this was released in 1983, so that's when the movie was supposed to be made, yeah.
Okay, so, where'd you get iPhone 7 footage? Then you have the stinger.
Yeah, you know what? I don't even know if I can feel bad spoiling this, because literally the stinger has nothing to do with anything.
No, it doesn't. And I'm just saying, all I'm going to say is that's where they use the footage. So
yeah, it's a jarring sequence, and you watch and you're like, well, what was the point of that? And then you realize, what was the point of this movie? Because I don't know if I have words to describe what the experience watching this was like, because I'm just like, yeah, my brain, like, just also the fact too that radio stuff in the background, it overlaps continuously with stuff, like, especially there's a lot of interviews with Bill Paxton's character, supposedly, about his programming, and that stuff is just gobbledygook just the entire time. It's just like, oh, do you believe in God? Oh, I think I do. What do you feel like when you're happy with sex? Oh, well, I do this, but this. And then radio reports are playing on top of his dialogue as well. So you're just hearing a cacophony of noise all around you. I'm just like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be paying attention to, and I'm not interested enough to care at this point.
In about halfway through the film, well, about 40 minutes, I guess.
Yeah.
I just started laughing. I started laughing for a good 2 minutes. Like, I took breaths because I have asthma, and I just kept laughing. I couldn't stop laughing, and then I stopped, and I just kept watching. I didn't laugh again.
Yeah, no,
until now.
I had to take a break because my fiance called me, and I'm so glad I did not invite her to watch this movie, because that would have been...
Oh, that would have been awkward.
That would have been an awkward car, because I didn't know what this movie was when I asked for it. I'm just like, oh, Chris asked for us to review it, London wanted to jump on it, so, okay, this could be fun. Bill Paxton, oh, I like Bill Paxton.
Yeah, we got to witness Bill Paxton student film porn. That's, I never thought I'd say those words.
That's more or less what this is. I mean, you know, and I can't even say technically that it's really all that impressive anyways. Like, it's got a certain, like, style that's kind of interesting, this whole, like, paranoid conspiracy look to it. But it's not even all that, like, proficient or technically impressive.
That's the problem. Is, like, you know, calling it revisited, it's just... you can't get past the fact that it looks like a student film.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I mean, you're a teacher. I've been in college. I've been in video clubs and film stuff. So I've seen films. I've seen student films, and you know, I've been in festivals and whatnot. And you know, you kind of have to look at them with a different critical eye. You have to be like, okay, is there potential for this to go on to something greater? That's usually what you look at when you see a student film. You see like this movie should not have been released on its own. This movie should have been released with either, like, as an extra to another movie.
Oh, yeah, no, this should have been, like, on a DVD collection for another Bill Paxton film that's better, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Like, this reminded me of Edgar Wright's The Cornetto Trilogy. In one of his Edgar Wright's films, in Hot Fuzz, he had a film when he was, like, in high school. And, you know, it was just like, oh, this is fun. He had it as an extra. And I was like, but even then, like, oh, this guy has potential, you know. So you look at this stuff, it's like, does this movie have potential? And
no,
and the only one is like Bill Paxton, because he's Bill Paxton.
You know, I mean, it's hard to judge even if Bill Paxton's doing a good job in this movie, because he barely acts in this film. Like, nobody acts really in this movie. He's just kind of there. It feels like he's just on vacation in Wales when he was a kid, you know, in this movie.
You know, it doesn't help either that the you're right, the dubbing. It's weird because Bill Paxton, even his dubbing is like, it sounds like everyone else, like just bland, and he didn't really know what was going on. And I think maybe, I don't know, like this is like his last film that he worked on.
It says it's his last credited role, but I can't imagine, I mean, it sounds like he's younger Bill Paxton a little bit.
Yeah, because I'm like, it's just weird because it seems like he doesn't understand what's going on.
Do you?
Well, yeah, he co-produced it. Yes, I wrote down, it said co-producer. Oh, okay, so he was a part of the production.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, this movie, you know, it sucked. I'm sorry, this movie sucks. I, you know, and I can't even say I'm angry. I'm just so confused and baffled by this film. I don't know what to say. It's just so surreal watching this.
It's sad because that's the best compliment I can get, because I've seen some artsy films that are so pretentious, and like they're insultingly pretentious. like they think they're better than you, like in all this, like those type of films. It never feels that way. It just feels like any generic, pretentious art film or student art film.
Yeah, this movie just doesn't care what you think about it. It's you know, it's having its acid trip in the back and just like, you know, you're just watching it have the experience. You're just like, oh, that's cute, you know, have fun kind of thing. It's just, yeah.
It, you know, I just, and they're like, oh, look, here's Bill Paxton's penis. So everyone, if you've ever was curious about what Bill Paxton's penis looks like in vivid detail.
you'll get to see it. Yeah.
Yeah. And what a Bill Paxton porno would look like.
There's a whole bunch of other creepy stuff in this movie, too. Like, I can't fully explain how, but there's this one scene where a sex scene's about to happen and gets interrupted. And when you watch how it's getting interrupted, you're just like, yikes.
Yeah. I'm thinking of, like, certain lines. I'm like, that doesn't make any sense.
None of this makes any sense. This movie was just a freaking... I don't know. I guess they were trying to be like a William S. Burroughs novel, but there's a reason why William S. Burroughs is hard to read, because he's a freaking lunatic.
Yes. I mean, he's the man who cut up a bunch of newspapers and put them together and sold it as a book.
Yeah.
It's like, there you go. Experimental writing. I'm like, listen, it's cute to have like on your shelf. Like, oh, okay. I have this. Now actually read it and enjoy it.
Yeah.
It's a different experience.
I don't know. London, please give us a final thought so we can finish up talking about this movie.
Okay. Okay. May Bill Paxton rest in peace.
That's a good thought.
Yeah. I had to start out with that. This movie isn't terrible. It just lacks any talent or any technical talent or skill. I mean, it's... He got tricked into watching a student film. That's all I could say. Yeah. This is a student film. It's just a pretentious student film. Not offensive, but pretentious. I don't even have any... I'm trying to think of anything positive.
I mean, bad looking, like in terms of stylistic. Like, you know, it gives you that clinical, paranoid feel to it kind of thing. That's kind of interesting.
I mean, it's just, the thing is, it's supposed to be set in a dystopian future, and all they did was showed a shot of some old statues, and like, look, it's the dystopian future. Everything else is
I couldn't tell this was in the future, because, like, the only time you think anything's in the future is that terrible CG computer screen they built around the 16mm footage they shot.
Like I said, just like, oh, old statues, there you go. Okay, fine. God, I mean, it's... People don't, like, if you ever had a chance to see this, I know if you're curious, like, oh, what does Bill Paxton's first student film look like? He was 19, I think, when he made this, too, so.
I believe it. He looks real, like, he's, like, thin, young. I didn't even recognize him.
Yeah, he had that nice feathered 70s hair. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's totally.
Oh, yeah. Like, this is him, like, it's weird to see, like, this as the evolution of him, like, coming out of the 70s and then going straight to the 80s with Aliens. You know, he's, like, just get rid of all that.
Aliens, weird science.
What a shift in a matter of like a couple years.
See, this is the thing about this movie. I'm totally going my final thoughts, and I'm veering. I just can't help it because of this movie.
No, sure, that's fine.
So I'm just going to cut to the arbitrary rating. Guys, I'm sorry. I can't look at this critically, okay? I got nothing. I literally got... I started having delirious laughter halfway through it. There you go. That's my review. Okay, so
wow,
arbitrary rating. I'm gonna give this 3 William S. Burroughs pretentious lines and student films out of 10.
Yep. I don't know how to feel. Like, again, I'm too confused to be angry. I'm just like, I don't know what I watched. It's such a bizarre experience of sex and paranoid conspiracy theories, and again, you know, look, okay, fine, I get it. This was supposed to be an experience. You're supposed to watch it as an acid trip, essentially. Mm-hmm. And yet, it's just so gosh dang boring throughout all of it. It's just, there's no narrative drive whatsoever after the first, like, 5 or 6 minutes of this movie. It's just...
You know what this movie reminded me of? Like Knight of Cups or Tree of Life? You know, ooh, like that, I forgot that, you know?
Terrence Malick, yeah.
It's just like, it isn't, because those movies are a lot longer, but it felt that way because you don't have any sense of time in the film.
No, I mean, the only thing that you give any sense of time is those terrible Adobe Effects titles that they created, like, day one, day two. Oh,
yeah.
And then they put up, like, quotes, like you're saying, from in those titles. I'm like, wow, that is, like, the cheapest font you could have chosen from the Premiere package. but, yeah, no, otherwise, yes, I can't tell when or why anything is happening in this sequence. Again, a chase scene starts up at one point. I don't know how it happened. I don't know why it happened.
And then it ends, and you're like, okay.
Yeah, I will say one thing that was kind of okay. The actual dude who plays the mayor of this prostitution town, which I don't know why this is a prostitution town. That was such a stupid, pointless detail to the story. But I thought he was fine. You know, like he came in to act, which is like the weirdest thing where this guy is the one person who took this seriously.
You know, that is true, because everyone in the movie is playing it up like they don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Like, every character doesn't know. And he's just like, he's acting like, you know, I'm the mayor of the town.
Yeah, he had a defined character, he had a defined motivation, he had a defined defined purpose for being in the film. And even it gets a monologue at the end, which supposedly explains everything that happens at the end of this. And I don't know what that was supposed to tell me. You know, like when they actually tell you what the story is, they keep rumoring about it. I'm just like, I guess that's supposed to be important.
No, it wasn't. They just threw it in there.
I guess. Well, and then the thing that they threw in there that really annoyed me was the ending song over the title the end title credits.
Oh, God, I forgot about that.
Kill the man! Kill the man! Kill the man!
God, I'm forgot just like, about that.
What in the frick is going on in this movie? So, yeah, I'm going to give this, three out of 10 people wearing pig heads. Because that scene, I'm just like, what the frick is this?
This is crazy. There's a lot of stuff you're saying I forgot about.
Right? It's almost like a fever dream. You feel like you didn't actually watch a movie. I'm like, this couldn't have happened in the movie I just watched.
It's awesome. I turned into MS Bros for a minute. Okay.
Oh, man.